Thank you so much, Fritz. Wonderful to be in the house of God. Amen. Well, a little birdie told me it's somebody's birthday today. Happy birthday, Aki. They told me she's 21 today. God bless you with many more years. Amen. Well, I am quite excited to speak with you this afternoon, it is already, because I feel this message doesn't apply just to one person, but to everybody. Because sometimes I hear people saying, I hope she heard it. I hope you heard that. But this one applies to all of us, so no one is exempt from this one. How about we just pray? Father, we are so grateful for your presence this morning. We thank you, Almighty God, that your word will fall on good ground, that you will bless us. At the end of this message, we'll be able to rise up again and just glorify your name, that your name will be lifted up in all the things that we do and say, in the name of Jesus, amen. So like I said, this message is for everyone, and I'm talking about failure. We've all failed at some point, haven't we? Yes, but what do you do once you've failed is what we're actually going to talk about. Now, I love to wear high heels for one particular reason, because I am vertically challenged. So I compensate for my height with heels. And when I bought my first pair of high heels, I fell down the stairs. It was so embarrassing. I just did not want to get up. And I just happened to be a senior prefect at that particular time. So it meant everyone laughing at me, which made it worse. And I just wanted the ground to open up and swallow me up. And for quite a while, I never wore heels thereafter because I was, you know, a bit shaken by it. But now I really rock them. I love them. But we have such circumstances in our lives where you have a massive fall and you just don't know what to do. You don't want to get up. You want to hide in bed. You don't want to get out of the house. You failed an exam, and sometimes it just means, where do I go from here? For some, it feels like it's the end of the world. What do I do? You invest money in a business, you lose it all, your relationship breaks, you're divorced, or something like that happens, and it feels like it's a failure. But let me just tell you, the Word of God is so encouraging, because not always are such things failures, you know? We can get up from it. We can go somewhere. I just want you to go with me to Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 34. And in there we learn of a very interesting man, Simon Peter. He's a good example of failure. Simon tried to walk on water. He failed. But he just kept going. Simon was one of the disciples referred to as Jesus' friends because of his attempt all the time. He was willing to give it a go. It says here in Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 34, Jesus predicts of Peter's denial. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. There comes a warning there to Peter from Jesus. When we fast forward, Peter followed Jesus. Jesus is arrested, and Peter follows at a distance. And when it says there in verse 55, and when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I do not know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of the men. And Peter replied, man, I am not. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is Galilean. In Luke 22:60, it says, Peter replied, "Man, I do not know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. He gave him the "I told you so" look. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. You can imagine Peter's devastation at that moment when he actually realized he had been warned and he failed to listen and he denied Jesus. You can imagine the rumor that was circling in the area or just amongst the disciples themselves. You can imagine what they were saying about Peter. The shame, the name calling. If it was today, you can imagine the headline. What would it be? From this story, we actually learn 3 things. That when we put these 3 things together, you are guaranteed to fail. And the first thing is overconfidence. A lot of us have failed because we think this could never happen to me. We rely so much on our strengths, on our intellect, our confidence. We think we have it all figured out. We are in control. And so it could never happen to me. I rely on my skill set. I'm an accountant. I could never go bankrupt. We say these sort of things. I'm a teacher. I know how to teach. And we rely so much on our skill set and our confidence and become overconfident. And that's what Peter did. It's so funny how much we talk about guarding our weaknesses, but we never talk about guarding our strengths. When you identify your strength, you have to guard it, because in a switch, it can become a weakness. And this is what happened to Peter. When he tried to walk on water, he was confident the first time. He was walking on water, and he felt confident doing it. It's a skill, walking. But in a split second, he lost focus of Jesus and he began to drown. And that's the same with whatever we go through in life. The moment you turn your eyes away from Jesus, your strength becomes your weakness. So given the right situation, everybody is capable of sin. Everybody. Everybody. We make mistakes, we make errors in judgment, we all do these things. But what is important is to guard our strengths in Christ Jesus. Amen. And the second thing that he did was he followed the crowd. You see, Peter had already been warned that he was going to deny Jesus. And instead, he could have chosen to stay in the upper room and pray. But he was curious. He followed the crowd. He put himself in a vulnerable position. He went with them to see what they were going to do. And it is in that curiosity that people began to ask him questions. He put himself in a place where questions were going to be asked. And as you would expect, he denied Jesus the first time. And even then, it didn't register. He could have walked away at that time. But no. He still sat there. His curiosity took the best of him. He was asked the second time, and he still denied Jesus. Again, he could have got up and walked away. But no, the third time. And that's what happens to us. You're struggling with something in your life. You're trying to get rid of a certain addiction. You have a character change that you want. But you go with the same people who are doing that very thing. I'll give you an example of alcohol, for instance. You do not try and quit alcohol by going to the pub where they're drinking it. Isn't that reasonable? Right. So think about whatever it is in your character that God is convicting you to do. Or think about your business, for instance. You do not go to the casino with all your money and hope you're going to spin it. You don't do that. You have got to stop following the crowd. You go with the naysayers, they question you. The next thing, you deny Jesus. The next thing, you separate yourself from God's purpose. So you have to separate yourself. The third thing, he disregarded the detail. He was given a warning in verse 31. And it says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. So Jesus there is already saying, he has prayed for Peter that his faith will not fail. But he disregarded it. Peter disregarded that. And what happened? He failed. So many times we have fine print. We have a manual, the Word of God. We've got instructions given to us. And because we think we know it all, we think we've got it all figured out. I've been on this journey before. I've done this before. We disregard the detail. And it is in that moment that we choose to disregard the detail, we fail. It is very important to realize at this particular point that Peter goes with Jesus up in the Mount of Olives to pray. And Jesus goes to pray. Peter decides with the others to sleep. Jesus comes and he says to them, could you not just wait with me? Could you not watch with me? He had that opportunity. Peter had been given that opportunity to pray for himself because temptation was coming his way. God sometimes convicts us. He nudges us before the big failure. He reminds us of his word before that moment of failure, and we disregard it. That is why it is very important for us to always watch in prayer. And if you're going through a difficult time, before you hit the dead end, always lift up your voice to somebody and just say to them, you know, hold me up in prayer. And Jesus did that for him. Jesus prayed for his disciples. If in as much as he failed, he could get up. So you might fail, you will get up again. And that is why it is very important in life to always realize that failure comes and goes. What is important is a person who fails is the one who stays down. We all fail. We've got to get up. We've got to choose to get up. It doesn't matter how big it is. You've got to choose to get up. Hallelujah. In 2009, my husband and I, we had this plan with our finances. My husband is an accountant, and at that time I was a mortgage broker. We decided we were going to put our money together, invested, and we had this big plan. We worked it out, we looked at we crunched the numbers, everything was looking good. So we went ahead. And guess what? We lost it all. We lost it all. And we couldn't even figure out what we did wrong. But as any married people know, finances bring a bit of a rift in a relationship. So we ended up acting out, and we ended up just pushing each other away. We were not talking to each other. We were blaming each other. How come this went wrong? And it just kept going and going, and the rift was just deepening. It was just going worse and worse and worse. And it took about 2 years for us to realize that there was a God out there who had our back. And we needed to go back and ask God what went wrong. And it was funny how when we did that, he spelled it out to us. God put it out to us, and we realized we had relied so much on our own skill set and not the purpose of God for this investment. It was a good idea, but not to God. And that's how we lost it. And so many of us do that in our businesses, in our workplaces, education, whatever it is in life. We rely so much on our willpower. And sometimes it is not in line with God's purpose. And if it is not, you're guaranteed to fail. So why do we fail? Because we are overconfident. We follow the crowd and we disregard the detail. So, in this same passage, we have to go through it again. What do we learn from Peter? How did Peter get up? That's the good news. Once Peter failed, he did a few things right. And the first thing that he did was he wept bitterly. Grieving is a very important process of getting up. It doesn't matter what you lose. It doesn't matter what you have done. You have got to grieve it. Because the process of grieving means acceptance, first of all. You accept that it's your fault. It's nobody else's. It's your fault. So when you do that, you weep, you do whatever it takes, you stay in that moment, and then you get up from there thereafter. When the rooster crowed, Peter remembers Jesus' words clearly. He realizes that his faith had been tested. It was not just he denied Jesus, but he realizes his faith had been tested. So what do you do from there? Being a friend of Jesus, walked with him every day for 3 years. You lose your friend. You have denied him. I don't know you. What do you do from there? He didn't justify it. He didn't rationalize it. He didn't just rush past it and just say, okay, so what? No. He took his time. He wept and he went to the others. He moaned his loss. He accepted his wrong. Whenever there is a storm and you have to get past it, you don't go around, you go through it. That's part of the grieving process. You have to go through it. You cannot avoid it. You cannot pretend it never happened. That's why it is very important for us to grieve. The second thing that he did, Peter accepted God's mercy. You can imagine how he felt each time he heard the rooster crow. This could have triggered all sorts of pain of his failure. And we all have triggers. Each time I put my heels on, I have to make sure I'm not tired or that sort of thing. It still does trigger. I might fall. I need to make sure I've got a good balance here. Everyone has triggers. But you know what? To get over your trigger, you have to lean on God's mercy. And there's one thing that separates what Peter did from at the same time we had Judas Iscariot. See, what Judas did when he realized he had betrayed Jesus, he went back with the money and he tried to gain his mercy. You don't do that. You can't fix a wrong in that manner. He went back with a hope that by giving back this silver, they would say it's okay, then Jesus would be released. That's why you find that the penalty of what Judas did led him to his death. On the other hand, you have Peter, who realizes how wrong he is, goes back to the throne of God, cries out, because he realizes that his failure was just a test of his faith. And by going back to God and God's mercy, he could be forgiven. He knew that he had a purpose. That leads us to number three, that you have to reroute and return to God's plan. Peter had a plan and a purpose that he knew had to be fulfilled. So in as much as he had denied Jesus, Jesus would die knowing that Peter had denied him. But that's okay because he had a plan and he had to reroute and go back to God's plan. In that manner, he did not just find remorse. He wasn't looking for remorse. He was looking for redemption. That's what we need to do. Find redemption in Christ. When you fail, doesn't matter what your situation is, find redemption in Christ. Remorse is not good enough. It's not good enough because the guilt will steal your joy. But redemption is what will set you free. It says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 8, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." That was Peter's purpose. He was told he was the rock. So after denying Jesus, what did that mean to him? Does that mean he's no longer the rock? I don't think so. What is your purpose and your plan? In spite of what you're going through, in spite of how you fall, fix your eyes on God's plan, and then you will get up. Praise God for that. With the same person, Peter, fast forward into the Acts of the Apostles, we find Peter in prison doing God's work. He's got a different approach altogether. He is praising God in prison. When you look back at your life and the failure, and you're fulfilling God's plan, when you look back at your failure, what do you see? It is important to know that there is going to be a time when you shall look back and you will say, oh, wow, I didn't realize this. So when you're down and troded and you're so upset about your failure, you've got to know it's a storm. You've got to pass through it. You've got to fix your eyes on God's plan. Find redemption. Keep going, because there's going to be a time when you will look back and you'll be praising God for that. Amen. And the final thing is to know that only Jesus saves. Jesus knows and Jesus saves. Amen. When Peter was told about his plan, and then he's told again about his test, Jesus already knew these things. There are so many things that happen to us. We are told of them. Jesus already knows. He knows your failure before it even happens. It's now up to you to just choose him, because he knows and he will save you. It says in Mark 16, verse 7, after Jesus is dead, the angel, the ladies went to the tomb, and the angel appeared to them and says, but go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. See, the angel could have simply just said, go and tell the disciples. After all, Peter was one of them. Why was there a need to emphasize and Peter? Go and tell the disciples that Jesus will meet you in Galilee. That would have been good enough. But he emphasized and Peter. And this is because he knew that Peter would be distraught. Peter was upset. He was weeping. He was tucked in a corner somewhere. So he knew that he was so devastated. So they had to call on Peter and tell him that Jesus has risen again. God knows when you fail. He knows when you're crying. He knows when you're devastated. He knows when you do not want to get up. But he will call you by name. He will call you by name to come to him. He will call you by name. Now, real life church, the devil plays tricks on people. He wants you to stay in that bed feeling sorry for yourself. He wants you to tell people, I do not want to talk to you right now. I don't want to talk to people. I'm having a bad time. He wants you to say that. The more you do that, you separate yourself from everyone, is the moment that you sink deeper. Because now you're on your own, where he wants you to be, isolated from people of God. I always say, it doesn't matter how devastated I'm feeling, I need that one person that I will tell I'm going through a difficult time to hold me up in prayer. And I encourage you to do the same. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Have those people to come around you. You might not feel like talking. You don't have to talk. But you need people. Do not isolate yourself. I will encourage you to be amongst other brethren. It says when they went out to call on the disciples and Peter, they found Peter in the upper room with the others praying. That's what you do when you fail. Be with the others praying. God will find you there. Praise God for that. Hallelujah to that. Now, in Proverbs 24:16, it says, "For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again." Hallelujah to that. I will conclude with this. It doesn't matter how many times Peter failed, he still fixed his eyes on Jesus. He fixed his eye on the call of God. Do not let the call of God go away because you've done something wrong. Go back, find redemption in God, and soldier on. It doesn't matter if you've invested and you've lost all your money. It's just money. God will give you some more if you fix your eyes on Him. It doesn't matter if your relationship has ended. It doesn't matter. Fix your eyes on Jesus. I'm one of those who says divorce is not a failure. It is an end to a relationship because it starts, it ends. Whatever the outcome, because the moment you start looking yourself at failure, when you get divorced, you will stay there. And it will get the best of you. You will get bitter. So you need to realize a relationship can end, and so you fix your eyes on Jesus instead. And you soldier on. You pick up your pieces, and you soldier on. You grieve, accept God's mercy, return to His plan. After all, He knows, and He says, praise God for that. Let's stand and pray. Before I pray the corporate prayer, I'm just curious if there's somebody here who's never known Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I just need to remind you that a saint is just a sinner who fell down but chose to get up. All of us here have fallen. All of us here have been walking down the roadside of sin. But we have chosen to come to Christ. And we've found redemption in Christ. You might be here and you're not walking with God. Or you've walked away from Him. You've turned your back to God. I invite you to recommit your life to God. And choose Him so that He will save you. Let Him be your Lord and Savior. And I promise you, He will love you more than anyone can do. Is there anyone here who wants to give their life to God? Just receive God as your Lord and Savior. Just by show of hands, is there anyone here? Thank you, God. I see you. Praise you, Jesus. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Now I ask that we pray with my brother here. And as I pray this prayer, I ask that all of us join in. Praise you, God. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Make me whole again. I ask that you come into my life and be the Lord and Savior of my life. I want you, Almighty God, to take over everything in my life, that I will serve only you. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me and for loving me. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. It is always a blessing when one person gives their life to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. And at this moment, we'll pray. If there is anyone who feels they're just down because of their failure, and just didn't know how to get up. Anybody? We'll pray together and I'll close as well. We thank you, Almighty God, for your presence this afternoon. We just thank you, God, that your word reminds us that you're a good, good Father. You love us. You forgive us. We thank you, God, that you know the plans for our lives. And even before we fail, you know it. You warn us, oh God, and sometimes we do not take heed. Forgive us for those moments when we do not pay attention to your word, God. We just ask, Almighty God, that we can fix our eyes on you again. In everything that we do, Father, as you convict us, we pray we hear your word clearly. That, Lord, as our faith is tested every day, we do not deny you. But we'll remain standing firm on your word, unashamed of you. We pray, Father God, that every day of our lives we'll proclaim you as our Lord and Savior. That, Lord, in everything that we do, whatever we touch, we'll remain blessed, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and giving us numerous chances, God. You're not just a God of second chance or third chance, but you love us unconditionally every time. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, God. And as we go from this today, we pray that you bless us, God, that your face will shine upon us, that you will give us peace, give us joy in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you, church. Stay for tea and coffee and hope to see you again tonight at 4 p.m.